paw prints from the Wyandotte County Humane Society.
Hello, everyone. This is Linda from Wyandotte County Humane Society, the Hope Low-Cost Spay-Neuter Clinic, and the Equine Rescue. First of all, most important, please be sure to check and replace water for any animals you have outdoors several times a day. It has been so brutally cold, they can't get water by licking ice. They must have fresh water. Thirst is a terrible thing. Please don't let your pets or livestock go without. We still receive lots of very nice pets available for adoption, including right now Cash, a one-year-old black and white neutered male house-trained poodle boxer who's good with kids and other dogs. Mister, a one-year-old white male German Shepherd, at least I don't name him. He is also good with kids and other dogs. Bruce Wayne, a 120-pound male brindle Great Dane Mastiff mix. He was stray, so we don't have any background, but he loves people. We just aren't sure how he is with smaller animals and children. We have several friendly rabbits and guinea pigs of various ages and sizes, and as always, many beautiful, playful cats and kittens. Most of our available pets are listed on petfinder.com, or you can go to our website at wyhumane.org. Please call to make an appointment. If you don't see what you're looking for, call to see if we have something not listed there yet that you might like. Adopted pets are spayed or neutered. They have their shots up to date. They're microchipped. And dogs are tested for heartworm and started on heartworm prevention. Dog adoptions are $80 and cats are $60. Our hours to receive animals are from 10 to 3 p.m. every day. And for emergencies after those hours, but please call before you come in that case. If you're missing a pet, call us. And for the current week's lost and found, you can check our website at wyhumane.org to schedule an appointment at our Hope Low-Cost Spay-Neuter Clinic. Also, please call between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. during the day, Monday through Friday. Our equine rescue still never turns away any equine from anywhere. An appointment is needed to surrender or adopt, and available animals are pictured on the Wyandotte County Equine Rescue Facebook page. And of course, right at the moment, the elephant in the room, since this broadcast is in Marion County, is the seizure by Marion County Sheriff's Office on February 13th of 11 horses and 2 goats from terrible conditions where there was no water, and no food or hay anywhere on the property. 7 horses had already died from severe malnutrition, and 1 horse had to be euthanized on site after being found stuck in a fence where he had struggled so long to get loose and in desperate need of water and food that once he was released, he was too weak to get up. The Marion sheriff and dog warden enlisted the help of a veterinarian and assistant from Diamond M in Kenton. With no one in Marion able to help, the animals were all brought to our Wyandotte County Equine Rescue for evaluation and care. On arrival, the horses needed nearly $500 of care per horse during the first couple of weeks. Vaccinations alone are over $300 per horse, and each horse was vaccinated for multiple diseases. All were evaluated by our veterinarians for body condition and treated for both internal and external parasites. Their hooves will be trimmed next week. The equine dentist checked their teeth just today, and a dental was needed on all, total $550. They all had sharp teeth, and 2 still had wolf teeth. Means not a whole lot to me, but horse people would know. Their ages were determined to be between 3 and 25 years old, and that's what the dentist can tell us. We buy our feed and hay in bulk, but each horse will eventually need roughly 3 pounds of feed twice a day and a half bale or more of hay each day. General care, such as feeding, cleaning, watering for that number of horses, takes a person about 2 hours twice a day. Then there will be the evaluation of the horse's training status. Depending on the horse, that can be days or weeks, sometimes even months, to get them to the point where they are appropriate for placement in a new home. But training is not yet a priority for these horses until they are completely rehabilitated. The 2 goats are doing fine here at the main shelter, The male was castrated yesterday, and we are unclear as to whether the female will be sharing baby goats with us since they were together when they were rescued. So, longer story than I intended, but suffice it to say, in spite of the enormous effort and expense, it is so very gratifying to watch these beautiful horses peacefully enjoying all the hay and water they want 24 hours a day. Sometimes we see them on the camera in our indoor arena, sometimes laying in the hay, and marvel how well they are doing already after such a tortured and sad existence. Our heartfelt thanks to all the kind, caring people who've reached out with so many donations. We are humbled and grateful for their compassion and generosity. On another note, our bingo is every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night to fund all our services, and we invite you to come out and join in the fun. And the main number for all three organizations or any questions is 419-294-4477. And again, whether it's horses, cows, dogs, or cats, everything needs to be able to drink fresh water all the time. Be sure to check that it isn't frozen. Thank you very much.
The Second Cup continues with Kirk Detweiler from the Palace Theater.
Very good morning and a happy February to everyone. This is Kirk Detweiler, the Executive Director of the Marion Palace Theater, bringing you the latest on upcoming shows and events at the Palace Theater and the May Pavilion. You still have two opportunities to see our annual junior play, The Girl with the Golden Locks. Meet Master Spy Goldilocks as she tries to outwit the dastardly Three Bears. This will be featuring 39 local kids and a fun evening for the whole family. That's our junior play, The Girl with the Golden Locks. It'll hit the main stage tonight, Saturday at 7 p.m., and tomorrow, Sunday, a matinee at 2 o'clock. Looking ahead to March, we're featuring 3 weeks of high school musicals, then a tribute to the late, great Jimmy Buffett with a show called Changes in Latitude. That'll be Friday, March 28th. April will bring us our in-house production of Nonsense 2, The Second Coming. Join the hilarious Little Sisters of Hoboken as they fill us with love, laughter, music, and even a game of bingo or two. That's Nonsense 2, The Second Coming, a Palace musical production, and that'll be April 11th through the 13th on the main stage. Check our website and Facebook page for details. Would you like to help preserve the historic Marion Palace Theater? Consider becoming a member. Membership is a great way to ensure that this beloved landmark continues to entertain future generations. For details, visit our website or stop by the box office. For more information on upcoming events or to purchase tickets, give us a call at 740-383-2101. Visit our website, marionpalace.org, or stop by and see us at the box office. We are open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9 to 5. On behalf of all of us here on West Center Street, we do thank you for your support, and we'll see you soon at the historic Marion Palace Theater.
The Second Cup continues in a moment with Tom Kennedy and the weather.
The Marion Knights of Columbus are again sponsoring their annual Lenten Fish Fry. Each Friday from 5 p.m. to 7, the meals include fish, french fries, coleslaw, tartar sauce, roll, and butter. All proceeds go to support the local charitable work of the KFC. The KFC is located on East Center Street beside Garfield Park. Good morning. Your Second Cup forecast on WZMO. Well, weather improving a bit for a few days. Mostly sunny this afternoon, a high today of 30. Clear and 18 overnight. Sunday, partly sunny and a high of 36. Monday, partly sunny and 44. By the time we get to midweek, we'll be at 50 and then drop back down into the 20s again. That's your Z1071 forecast.
Fred Malone joins us from the Marion County Historical Society.
This is Fred Malone from the Marion County Historical Society. In honor of Black History Month, today I want to talk about the first African-American man to locate in Marion. Simon Pierce came to Marion in 1826, and he brought with him all the characteristics of the Southern gentleman of those days. Whole-souled, cheerful, agreeable, and polite as a Frenchman, and ever ready to do a favor, he soon won the hearts of his friends, and every latch string in the village hung out the welcome sign for him. The friends of this genial man knew as little, perhaps, as he did himself about his ancestry, but it was sufficient. A barber by trade, Pierce was the first to open such a shop in the village, and during the many years he resided here, his place was the leading establishment of its kind. In addition to his work as a barber, he was for 20 years the sexton of the Old Methodist Church. After the congregation grew stronger and was able to build more pretentious quarters, he was the janitor of the church building. He was honest to a fault, and his word was as good as his bond, while he was regarded wholly indispensable at all social gatherings. Coming to Marion only 4 years after the town was laid out, he fell in with a class of thrifty, hardworking people who fully appreciated the splendid attributes of this man's character, while they thoroughly enjoyed his gift of being compassionate and entertaining at all times. In those days, social distinctions were not so sharply drawn as at the present, and the hardy pioneers of the village saw no reason why an honest man of whatever color should not be treated with consideration. During Pierce's residence in Marion, by economy and industry, he accumulated considerable property and was regarded as a successful man considering his opportunities. Pierce will also be remembered by many because of his quaint original verse, his reciting in connection with the crying for auction sales throughout the village, and his ringing of the courthouse bell at 6 o'clock each morning to awaken the village residents. Those who knew most of Pierce state that he left Marion in 1863 and went to Bowling Green, where he lived until 1888 and died at the age of 93 years. You can meet Simon Pierce and visit with him at the 19th annual Night at Heritage Hall to be held Saturday, March the 29th, from 5 to 8, put on by the Marion County Historical Society. Tickets will be available at the door, a $5 charge for members and an $8 charge for non-members can be paid then. We are definitely in need in volunteers at the Marion County Historical Society, and there are many things you can do, including a tour guide, helping with new exhibits, doing research, and others. Our staff is in the office Tuesday through Friday from 9 to 5, and you can call at 740-387-4255 for more information. This has been Fred Malone with the Marion County Historical Society.
On the second cup this morning, the Adam H. Board.
Hello, everyone. This is Amber Cronin, Communication Specialist for the Crawford Marion Alcohol, Drug Addiction, and Mental Health Adam H. Board. As we look toward the end of the month, we're approaching Eating Disorder Awareness Week, a time to reflect, learn, and come together to support those affected by eating disorders. Whether you're new to this topic or have been involved for a while, I'm so glad you're joining us today. This week is a powerful opportunity to raise awareness, understand the impact of eating disorders, and discover new ways we can all support each other in recovery. Eating disorders go beyond food. They're deeply connected to how we feel about ourselves, our bodies, and our emotions. Some of the most common types include anorexia nervosa, a fear of gaining weight that leads to extreme food restriction and dangerously low body weight. Bulimia nervosa, binge eating followed by purging behaviors like vomiting or overexercising to avoid weight gain. Binge eating disorder, recurrent episodes of overeating, often paired with guilt or distress, but without purging behaviors. These disorders affect people of all backgrounds and have a significant impact on both mental and physical health. You might wonder, why do eating disorders develop? While there's no single answer, there are a few key factors. Genetics. A family history of eating disorders or other mental health conditions can increase the likelihood of developing one. Psychological factors. Low self-esteem, anxiety, or depression often contribute to eating disorders. Societal pressures. Unrealistic body standards in media and culture can heavily influence body image and self-worth. Life events. Stress, trauma, or unhealthy relationships with food can also play a role in the onset of an eating disorder. Eating disorders are complex and often tied to deeper emotional struggles, so it's important to approach them with understanding and compassion. As Eating Disorder Awareness Week draws near, here are a few ways we can all make a difference. Start the conversation. Raising awareness begins with talking openly about eating disorders. Sharing information and educating ourselves can help break the stigma. Reach out for help. If you or someone you know is struggling, seeking professional help is key. Therapy, support groups, and counseling are all vital to the recovery process. Support positive body image. Encourage a focus on health and self-compassion rather than appearance. Remind those in recovery and yourself that you are enough just as you are. Be there for each other. Recovery is a journey, and showing empathy and support is crucial. Even small acts of kindness can make a big difference in someone's healing process. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Let's continue to raise awareness, support those in recovery, and work towards a world where we all embrace our bodies with kindness and understanding. For more resources and information, visit the Adam H. Ford website at mcadamh.com and check out nationaleatingdisorders.org for additional support. This is Amber Cronin with Crawford Marion, Adam H. Ford. Thank you for listening to the Second Cup News Magazine. And remember, support and compassion go a long way in helping those who are struggling.
Here's Diane Watson from the Marion Public Library.
Hello again. This is Diane Watson from the Marion Public Library. With March just around the corner, we are eagerly awaiting the first author visit of the year, Jared J. Krasoska, a wonderful author and illustrator for the youth. He is coming to us through a grant from Marion Community Foundation and Let's Read 20 Marion Day as we kick off March as National Reading Month. He will be here on March 11th to do a short presentation and then sign books, connecting kids with authors and books. His books will be given out free to grade school kids attending the program. This is after they had his book, Punk Farm, read to them in the classroom to kick off the reading month. This event is free and open to the public, and kids will get free books while they last. Come join us as we experience an author visit at your Marion Public Library. Additional authors will be coming throughout the year, so check out marionlibrary.org/author-series for a complete list and more information. We challenge you to read one of their books and then come hear them talk. These are all open to the public, no cost at all. And we are in the throes of our spring 2025 adult lifelong learning programs. Get registered for one or all of our 13 classes. They are designed for those 18 and over to take a deeper dive into certain subjects. The class lineups are available so you can peruse the listings and make your selections. Those that are offered are a really great opportunity to learn about cheese, writing a book, acupuncture, winemaking, the Holocaust, waterfowl, and more. And all the programs give an opportunity to learn. So get the list and make your selection and get registered. We'd love to see you at one of the programs. The second spring thing that comes up annually is our book sale. The Friends of the Marion Public Library will be hoping that you are checking your closets and bookshelves and looking for those items that you can donate. Consider donating them to someone who will reread them and reuse them. All the money that's raised throughout the book sale in April comes back to the library for purpose of doing programs and services. So your book donations are accepted throughout the whole year, but this time of year is when everybody starts thinking about making the donations. Don't worry, we can handle all of the books that are being donated, but mark your calendar for April 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th, because you won't want to miss the great deals and the good finds that you'll be able to find at our annual book sale. So remember, we are here to help you. Stop by Marion Public Library. We are open Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 7, Thursday and Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 3, and marionlibrary.org. We are open 24/7 so that you can reserve books. And please don't forget that we do have the book market in the library that is run by our bookmarks. They are open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Saturdays. So stop by before they will be closed for a short while before our book sale. So we will see you at the library.
Our second cup continues with Tom Kennedy and some of his, well, we'll call them thoughts.
I came across a study published in the Journal of American Chemical Society, where they recently used both chemical analysis and a panel of human sniffers to smell odors from 9 mummies as old as 5,000 years old and had either been in storage or on display at the Egyptian Museum in Cairo. This seemed like a really bad idea to me. Every movie I have seen in the last 50 years has terrible things happening to people who open mummies' coffins. And yes, it says they used chemical analysis first, but of all the potential bacteria, viruses, and poisons that may have been in there, and who knows if the corpse maybe had baked beans for dinner just before he died. The researchers said, "We were surprised at the pleasantness of them. Woody, spicy, and sweet were the leading descriptions from what sounds more like a wine tasting than a mummy sniffing exercise. Floral notes were detected, which could be from pine and juniper resins used in the embalming." That juniper is probably from the gin. All I can say is, if it floats your boat sniffing dead corpses, hey, go for it. A little kinky, though, if you ask me. That's my last word, and I'm sticking to it.
That's the second cup for this morning. If you'd like to make a comment or have a suggestion, you can email us at wzmo@roadrunner.com.